with the revelation of the New Testament, the Old Testament comes alive. Come on, somebody. I mean, you need it all. We need the whole book, okay, the whole Bible. And it's just some great stuff in there. And so we've been on Joseph for a while. This is Joseph number 5. Now, Joseph, if you've read that story at all, you know that he went through some trials. I mean, God gave him a vision, a dream for his life, all right? And it was close to 40 years before he saw that thing come to pass, or he was close to 44 years old. So over 30 years from the time he got it for the time it was fulfilled, really when he was reunited with his father and his brothers. And when you look at that story, and that just shows us that whatever the plan of God is that he has for your life, and let me assure you tonight, you have a call on your life. You have a purpose. You have a mission. And we're going to talk more about that this weekend. We got a series we're going to start Sunday called Mission Possible. So come on, we're going to play a little theme song for you. We're going to have Tom Cruise here as a special guest. No. I had lunch today with Pastor Dwayne Vanderclock. Him and Jeannie were up. Pastor Dwayne, he'll be here in June, but he was up when we were having. And I told him I was going to start that series on Sunday, and he said, "You're going to have Tom Cruise there." I said, "We don't need Tom Cruise. We got me. All right." The only thing Tom Cruise has got on me is he's got hair. I don't have to comb mine. But we're going to be talking about that because God has a mission, a purpose, a call on your life. But let me just tell you, the devil and circumstances are going to do everything they can to make you believe that the call of God will not succeed. They want you to quit. And listen, the only way, I had someone tell me this once, you will succeed if you outlast the devil. I'm going to tell you that tonight. You will succeed if you outlast the devil. So, you know, you probably heard somebody say before, if you're going through hell, don't stop. Keep going. It's the truth. It's the truth. And you see this in the life of Joseph. I mean, persistence says a whole lot. And, you know, you and I just live in by faith. It says this in Genesis 37, verse 5. Now, Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. I always like to start with that verse, even though we've been on this for a few weeks. Because there are going to be things and people. Listen, we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers of darkness. We know that. But there are people in your life that will not see the plan of God. They won't. You don't need those people around you, all right? And so, but the thing is, God will be faithful, and he will fulfill the call that he's placed on your life. Now, we've looked over the past few weeks at the principle of pride, talking about how the root of pride is insecurity. We've looked at the principle of the pit and how when you're going through a pit in life, the enemy is going to tell lies to you. We've looked at the principle of good stewardship, and that's where we kind of left off a couple of weeks ago. And good stewardship is so much more than money. Good stewardship, and I like to put it this way, we have, and we don't use the word steward too much. It's an old English word. We don't use it much really in our culture anymore. But you could say manager. And really, I like to put it this way. How well am I doing at managing the purposes, the plan of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God? Remember, we were talking just a couple of weeks ago how important it is for the way I manage the Spirit of God in my life. You say, what do you mean manage? I mean, am I keeping myself in an attitude where I'm able to receive and really have communion, if you will, with the Holy Spirit? Because there's things in our life, and we'll talk about that tonight a little bit. There are things in your life, even though Christ has set us free. How many know we are saved by grace? Through faith, okay? That bottom line. But there are so many things in our life and the sin and the weight that besets us that really block us from hearing Holy Spirit. So we're responsible for managing our relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's always there. He's always available. We don't always catch it. And there's things we're learning through the life of Joseph. And really, we talked a couple weeks ago again about the principle of good stewardship, really talking about how you and I should have that in our marriage, in our children, with relationships with our children. Our job, our health, all those things. So not just money, but the favor of God really is good stewardship or managing. When we're managing the promises, the principles of God properly, I want to say it again, when we manage the promises and principles of God properly, then we've got these things in our life where we have rich and favor. We have favor in all those areas of our life, all right? I said, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." And the reason I want to read this scripture is because tonight we're going to talk about purity. Because the only way that you and I can prosper is if we allow the grace of God really to just continue to expand on the inside of us. And the only way our soul can prosper is to live out of the presence of the Lord, which really produces a willingness to please or obey the Lord. That's where we left off 2 weeks ago. A willingness to please the Lord. And I really think that that's what prosperity is all about, and tonight we'll get into purity because that will block true prosperity in our lives. And the thing you and I have to understand that in the Jewish mind, and understand, how many know, you know, the Bible's written to Jews by Jews, all right, for the most part. A couple other people groups, but for the most part. Jesus came through Jewish lineage, we all know that. But to the Jewish mind, understand this, worship and obedience are the same thing. Worship and obedience. In our culture, we think, I'm going to go worship, I'm going to go to church. Well, I'm going to tell you, a lot of people come to church, they are not worshiping. They are not worshipers. All right, that's the truth. Not, maybe not so much in this church, so you're off the hook tonight. But in the Jewish mind, worship and obedience go together. All right, and I'm going to show you tonight that worship and obedience, why it's so important. When I live a life true worship, I obey God. And I obey not by my own works, but by the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. Because when I surrender, when I worship God, now He's working on the inside of me, giving me the desire and the power to do the things that please Him. It's not something I'm working out. But when I worship God and I'm having true, rich worship, one-on-one time with God, where I can just cast my cares. And not get all fidgety and to get antsy and anxious. Listen, I can get anxious with the best of y'all, all right? But we need to be in a practice of quieting down. And we talk about this so much because it's so important. It's so important. You know, we've talked before about how I think counterfeit faith is ambition. True faith really comes out of a place of surrender and letting the Holy Spirit now start to work in us. I mean, you can get on being ambitious and get all kinds of things done. You know, ambition will get a lot of work done. It'll get a lot of things accomplished for God, praise God. But it's peace that things really flow out of. A heart surrendered to Him, now living out of the new man. A heart surrendered to God, living out of the new man. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit tonight. James 4:6, he says that God gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud but gives grace, say grace, to the humble. Galatians 4:8, it says, but then indeed when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not God's, but now after you have known God, or rather known by God, see, that's Holy Spirit, He knows you. Remember, Jesus said, I chose you, you didn't choose me. We got to understand, this is God's choice. That'll set you free tonight, if you realize that, that God chose you. All right? So it says, rather known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? All right? And here's really the struggle that most Christians have is they start to dabble, if you will, and get back under things that weight us down. The things that we're set free from that are baggage, as it says here, the beggarly elements that bring us under bondage, all right? This is why so many people really, it's beggarly elements. And here's what it'll cause you. It will cause you to live a life where you're begging for things. When you are living, you're saved. I'm talking to Christians here. Born again, saved by the grace of God, yet because we allow things in our lives and don't let Christ set us free, understand, your freedom is for this life. He has purchased you, and you're going to get a new body to dwell forever in. Your freedom here is for now, all right? The freedom that Christ purchased, really good part, it's we're talking about right now. And you and I have got to get this, because what we'll do is we start to get ourselves trapped and we got this little sin over here, we got this little thing, this stumbling block. Listen, you all know this. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation here tonight, but if you want to be free, we got to talk about this stuff. All right? Why do we allow these little things in our side? Why do we allow these things in our lives? Because what they do is they're beggarly elements that cause us to have this begging attitude. And so we come to God and we beg and we wonder why things don't change and, oh, God, you just don't love me anymore. And all these, we could go on and on. There's so many mindsets that come out of this kind of life. But see, the Bible's telling us that when we're known by God, we shouldn't turn back to those things. Because here's what happens. You think about it. This has happened to probably to every one of us. What happens is even if we do achieve things that we want, we're believing God, we don't get rid of these things, we don't get rid of these things we're talking about. We may achieve things, but we grow tired, we grow weary, and we grow wore out. I have seen so many people who've lived, walked with God, even seen some of the blessings of God, but they're tired. They're just wore out. We should not be that way, all right? And really, I think a big part of that is what we're going to talk about tonight is the principle of purity or holiness. And I believe with all of my heart that in these last days, that above all things, that what God wants is a move of purity or holiness among his people. And you hear people talk about grace. There's some great teaching on grace out there, by the way, all kinds of good stuff. But, you know, everybody wants to jump on the bandwagon of grace, and you get all kinds of weird stuff out there where people just think, you know, you can live however you want, and that is not true, all right? There's something that comes with grace. It gives you, understand this, and we've talked about this. Grace is the power to live holy. Simply, that's what it's for. It's so you, because I am holy, therefore I am holy. And that sounds so simple, but it's the truth, and there's freedom in that if we just allow that holiness to start to work on the inside of us and stop striving and all these things that we do. We live in a culture, and I just, even though we're going to talk a little bit about sexual purity tonight, understand something. One of our greatest enemies, I believe, is the culture. Really, our greatest enemy is the culture we live in. And sexual purity is under attack. It really is in so many ways. It's amazing. And now Joseph passed this test of sexual purity. Again, that's why it comes up in the life of Joseph. You can't ignore it. You know, you can't ignore it. You can't look at this, the story of Joseph, and ignore this part. We live in a culture that declares that sexual morality has nothing to do with character, but it's a personal choice. Well, I just choose to do this sexually. I just choose to do this sexually. Now listen, if this triggers something in you tonight, again, there's no condemnation, but allow grace to help change you. All right? Because if living apart from what God calls pure and holy, sexually and other ways, will cloud our vision. I've met people, they think they're hearing the Holy Spirit, and they're not. I'm going to tell you why you know they're not. Results. Holy Spirit gets good results. All right? Again, you can't measure yourself by someone else's standards, but do you have peace in your home? Are you progressing little by little, by little by little? Are you growing? Are you continuing to grow? That shows that you're following Holy Spirit. All right, is all in all growth. But God really looks at sexual purity differently than the world does. In fact, if we don't live sexually moral lives, we may not fulfill the destiny God has for us. All right? Even though everybody knows the story of King David, and we're not going to talk about him tonight because that's another story. But King David did so many great things. But remember, he sinned with Bathsheba. All right? And that sin affected his whole family. His whole family. King David's greatest desire, his greatest desire was to build a dwelling place for the Lord. If you study it out, and he wasn't able to do it. He was able to set aside finances and materials for his son to build it. But he wanted to build that. And it was really because of this problem that he had with sexual purity. Again, we're not going to study that tonight, but that's just one instance. Now, Joseph got this. Let me just say this here. God made sex for marriage relationship. In that context, it's holy and a gift from God. And if you're in something other than that, again, there is no condemnation, but do you want God's best? We're in a society that says it doesn't matter. It does matter. It does matter. And again, I'm not trying to attack anybody, but I've seen people live together for years and years and years, and I just think, why don't you just get married? What is that? It's the culture telling us that it doesn't matter. That's what that is. Because you are married. You're living together. Matter of fact, there's laws in place. You live together long enough, you can actually split up and then sue the person and get what you think belongs to you. It's true. So why not get married? Because then we'd have to submit to God's laws. But we should want to, because that's when we get the blessings. Attending church and living a surrendered life are not the same thing. All right? They are not. All right? Well, I go to church. We'll talk more about that on Sunday because, you know, we're called to be disciples. But delight yourself also. This is Psalm 37:4. I don't have this in my notes, but if you can put it up out of the New King James Version. He says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. I apologize, it wasn't in the notes. But I wanted to read that there because we got to understand the problem is desire. And you and I, and we'll see tonight, I think we'll get that far, that when we're lured away, it's really lust that lures us away. It's what's on the inside of us, the things we want, that lure us down the wrong path. And what we need to do, and that's why we say we're talking about a life of worship. You and I need to worship God. And when we truly worship God, these things that don't line up with the nature of God start to fall off us. Not something you have to work at. The work we do, if you will, is living a life that is drawing near to God, that is surrendered to God, that is consecrated to God. And I'm going to tell you, that will take everything you have to do. It will. It will take. You blow it daily. Can we be honest? Can we be honest? All right? And if you don't understand what I'm saying, please, I love you. Listen to me. If you don't understand what I'm saying, then you are not fighting for your relationship with Jesus. Because if you were fighting for, if it was important to you, you'd know exactly what I'm talking about, because it's under attack every day. Abstinence is not a popular opinion in our society. And again, maybe you don't have an issue with sex. This will apply to so many areas. So we're going to talk about worship and idolatry tonight, because that's the core, that's really what it's all about. 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, "For God brought you with a price," or high price, "so you must honor God with your body." That's a simple truth. 2 Corinthians 6:6, he says, "We have proved ourselves by our" what? "Purity." Proof that you're a Christian, one of the things is proof that you and I are Christians, are our purity. A pure mind, understanding, patience, kindness, sincere love, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me just say this. It's the Holy Spirit power in your life that allows you to live a pure, holy life, all these things. All right? It's not something you do. It's something you are drawing near to God. You're working on your relationship. You are continually just being saturated in grace and getting freer and freer and freer and freer. And the freer you get, the less you want to do things that are disobedient to God. Because remember, true worship and obedience are the same thing. They really are. They go hand in hand. You don't even have to work at it. You start worshiping God, you'll start obeying God. And for someone who's struggling in any particular type of sin, all right, especially sexual sin, we'll sit and we'll hear this message and say, "No, you don't understand. You don't understand, Pastor. I was born this way." Okay, I agree 100%. We're all born rebellious. Does that mean we shouldn't listen to anybody? Come on, help me out. It's the truth. But that's how we think. Well, I was born. Yeah, of course you were born that way. We're all born that way. All right? Romans 1:21, we're talking about worship, remember? "Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks, and they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like." Isn't this our society? What we think, God, he, she, her, it, whatever. "The result was that their minds became dark and confused, claiming to be wise, they became utter..." Let me say this, I know I'm stopping myself so much. If you're dark and confused, may I suggest you are worshiping the wrong thing? Don't we say, "I was blind, but now I see"? Not, "I was blind, but now I'm dark and confused"? That's an old Led Zeppelin song. "Dazed and confused for so long, it's not true." All right. Verse 22, that's enough of that. "Claiming to be wise, they became utter fools instead." Now, I don't watch much of the news on TV, but that describes the news to me right there. It just does. All right? "They proclaim themselves wise, but they are fools." There is so much foolishness in our society, in our world right now. It's scary. It ought to scare us. It ought to scare us into our relationship with Christ, all right, as Christians. "Instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people or birds and animals and snakes." See, my view of God affects my worship. My view of God affects my worship. And you may say, "Well, what idols do we have?" Our idol, our biggest idol, is consumerism. Period. Matter of fact, I believe consumerism is a religion of our time. It is. And this really is where the problem with sexuality lies. You're gonna see, it's all going to make sense to you. Believe me. Advertisements get you and I to idolize a brand or a lifestyle, and then you become like what you worship. You say, "Well, I got to wear this style jean, and you know, if I drink this kind of beer, then they're going to travel all over the cold parts of the earth, and they're going to dig it out for me, and they're going to bring it just in time. And I'll have the babes on either side, and I'll be drinking my Coors Light." See, and we believe that we'll be like that person. All right? And that's what happens. Advertisement does this to us. And let me just say this. I am not picking on homosexuality. I'm trying to make a point. If you struggle with that, God loves you. We love you. I want to help you, all right? God wants to help you. I mean, I don't care if it's homosexuality, adultery, it's all wrong. It's all the same. It's just homosexuality right now is such a popular thing. It's talked about all the time, so I'm going to talk about it in church. Listen, homosexuality is less than 3% of our population. You can take a look at statistics are anywhere from like 1.8 to 4%. So it's roughly 3%. 3% of the population would say, you know, I'm a homosexual, I'm a lesbian, or whatever. I struggle with that, whatever, okay? Yet, it is becoming more accepted as normal. In fact, it is becoming, and you're going to know this is right, it's becoming a popular choice, and I mean choice, in particular for teen girls. And it's really because, you know, think about it. You watch little girls. Trish, I need your help up here. Come up here a minute. Little girls will sit and they'll have tea together, you know, and boys will come and smash the table. I mean, you know, so it's like, but you know, so girls, you know, if they're at that age, and so, you know, to naturally hold hands or something, it's natural. They just kind of do that. And before, now they're saying, well, you know what? You really, same-sex marriage is fine. Matter of fact, you're a school teacher. Oh, well, I must be a lesbian because I feel connected to this girl. We're friends. I don't need boys. Well, you're right, you don't, especially at the age that most people are struggling with this. What you need is God. And that's the problem. Thanks for helping me with that. I'll take any excuse I can to hold her hand. All right. But whatever it is, okay, consumerism is a religion of our time. Beer, clothes, cars, investments. Sit and watch a TV. Oh, I don't need to tell you to do that. You're already doing that. Okay. Sports teams, entertainers. These are the gods of our society. And we worship them, and we wonder why there's no power of God in our lives. Here's what it says in verse 24 of Romans 1. So God let them go ahead and do whatever shameful thing their heart desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. Instead of believing what they knew was the truth about God, they deliberately chose to believe lies. Verse 26. This is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relationships with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men. As a result, suffered within themselves the penalty so richly deserved. See, I didn't write this. The Holy Spirit did. It's really a matter of what or who we worship. Again, I am not picking on somebody's lifestyle choice. The problem is we don't worship the right God, all right? If we worship God, worship and obedience are synonymous. See, and the problem is our popular culture tells us that, and I don't know if you've noticed this, more and more the things of God, the priorities, the principles of God are just less and less popular. People don't want to hear about it. They don't want to hear about it. All right. And in a lot of ways, they're not hearing about it because Christians aren't standing up. Kind of just roll with the flow. We live in a day when an NFL football quarterback is criticized and asked to keep his faith to himself, yet we celebrate an NBA basketball player for coming out of the closet with his homosexuality. Think about, now listen, I am not trying to criticize. I love both Tebow and the basketball player. I can't think of his name. Doesn't matter. Probably more than one. It has nothing to do with what I am just saying. We are living in times where we celebrate these things, and not just homosexuality. That just happens to be the popular thing, and really, it's setting the stage for the Antichrist. So this is supposed to happen, all right? This is supposed to happen, all right? Colossians 3:5. I'm gonna help you. This is how you can get victory over this. He says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Isn't it interesting? Covetousness. That is really just wanting something you're not supposed to have. It's really lust of all kinds. Matter of fact, I don't have this in my notes, but I want to read this. Exodus, how many are familiar with the Ten Commandments? The giving of the Ten Commandments. It turned into hundreds of commandments, but God gave 10, all right? This is Exodus 20:17. He goes through all these things. We're not going to read them all. But, you know, not kill, and all the things are listed. But listen to what he says. The last thing he says is, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servants, nor his female servants, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything else that is your neighbor's. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, even if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed sin. God said the same thing right here. If you look at something and want it when it's not yours, you've committed sin. So that is where sin, sexual sin in particular, that's where it starts. Is we are not controlling our desire. Remember we said when we started Psalm 37:4, delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. If you're delighting in the Lord, your desires will be godly desires. If we're worshiping God, we'll be having godly desires. When we worship the gods of this age, consumerism, if you will, we're going to be messed up. And spiritually and sexually is going to be one of the places. It may not be homosexuality. It could be pornography. It could be whatever. Addicted to sex. Whatever. It doesn't. There's just so many things we're addicted to. We got to look just the right way. All right? Now, if you want to have a certain way you like to dress, that's fine. I'm not. But when everything's just got to be perfect. All right? Do you understand what I'm talking about? I mean, this applies to so many things tonight. I just pray you hear my heart tonight. But he says, put to death. See, the old nature must die, and then you live out of your new nature. The Bible tells us we have the mind of Christ. And so we surrender. We live a surrendered life. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you must die to yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. It's dying to ourselves. The problem is, it's not a popular opinion to die to ourselves. Now, dying to ourselves means so many different things. Really, first of all, we're dying to the fact we cannot be made right with God by our own actions. We already mentioned that, but I want to say it here again. Because when you preach a message like this, people say, well, Pastor, you're just putting this under legalism and the law. No, I'm not. I want you free. But we live in a society that tells you all this stuff's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. And we think on these things, and we worship these things. Listen to what he goes on and says in Colossians 3:7. Let's read this slowly. You used to do them. Say, I used to do them. All right. This is written to Christians. When your life was still part of this world. See, we step out of this world and into a new world, a new kingdom. All right? So we shouldn't live this way. And grace is the answer. Colossians 3:8. But now you yourselves are to put off who? You yourself. You and I do this. We put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Now listen, some of you, I know you're sitting here thinking, oh boy, you got me. Phew, my life's a mess. Understand something. Do not leave here and start to live right. Yeah, and somebody, I know you said this, I believe it, but somebody said, well, Pastor, this won't work. It won't work that way. You'll just be more condemned, and you'll be worse off than you are right now. Your problem is, please listen. You don't worship God. There, I said it. Yep. You don't. In that area, you don't worship him. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know? Okay. Because I'm 54 years old, I got saved at 31, and I was addicted to as many things as any of you. Alcohol, drugs, pornography, the whole shot. When you live 31 years for yourself, you can't help it. Unless you're a really, really good person and you lie good and really cover things up. And I'm set free of all, there are none of those things that are bondage to me. God, it's true. God is still teaching me patience. Sometimes I get angry. There's still things I'm not perfect. All right? I'm applying this to those areas as well. But we'll sit here and we'll say, I'm not telling you, because if you think you can leave here, well, I'm going to be good. Don't do that. Please don't do that. You can leave here tonight. Matter of fact, you should do it before you leave here tonight and fall in love with Jesus. And realize that he should be and is more important than pornography. Your sexual preference. We'll just leave it at that. Because people say, well, I was born this way. Yeah, I was born rebellious. Are you with me? I don't deny that people were born that way. Well, yeah, I was born. I hate everybody and I want to kill them. They'll lock you up. Listen, Jay, the first guy born to man and woman, all right? What was his name? Well, the first guy born to Adam and Eve, first man. Who knows? Cain. What did he do? killed his brother. All right. I was born this way. Yeah. Yeah. But he fell away because he didn't worship God properly. See, we can go on and on with this. If you have a challenge in your life, everybody look at me. Look at me. It's because you're not worshiping God in that area. He's not Lord of your life. That's the bottom line. Say, well, Pastor, you make it sound so easy. It's not easy. But this will work. Trying to be good won't. All right? Because all you need to do is fall in love with Jesus and say, oh, God. Oh, anybody who's ever been set free of anything, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And don't you let the devil say whatever it is that's bothering you now can't be like that, because it can be. I don't care what you face. It can be like anything else he set you free of. The problem is you've allowed the enemy to lie to you and condemn you. Condemnation is not from God. I cannot say that enough tonight. Jesus is not condemning you. Your sin is forgiven. If you challenge in an, if you're challenging an area, you need to start to worship God and let the new nature start to recreate on the inside. Listen to what he says. Colossians 3 still. Verse 10. And have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Matter of fact, in the New Living Testament, all right, it says where it says new man there, New Living Testament, New Living Translation says new nature. If some of you have an NLT, you'll see that. It says new nature, all right? And put on the new nature. Start to live out of the new nature. That comes from living a life of worship, a life of surrender, a life of taking time to be quiet with the Lord. And if you don't do this, you're going to have all kinds of struggles. This is not, you can memorize scripture until you're blue in the face. And now, it's good to memorize scripture, all right? But you can memorize scripture till you're blue in the face, and it can even be King James Version, and you'll be as bound as the other guy. I'm telling you the truth because I love you, because it doesn't work. This works. Start to live out of the new nature. Matter of fact, in the New Living Translation, where it says Christ is all and in all, here's what they say. Christ is all that matters. Christ is all that matters. If you want to have the victory over sin and bondage in your life, I don't care what it is. We're talking about sexual sin because that's where we are in the story of Joseph. Then you and I need to realize that the only way we can defeat that is to live out of the new man, and it's because Christ should be all that matters. If Christ is all that matters, you don't have to worry about that other stuff. It starts to just fall off. It starts to fall off. I look at as much pornography as I want to. I get drunk as often as I want to. I smoke as much weed as I want. I smoke as much crack as I want to. And listen, there's a time in my life I'd be doing all that and say, come on, give me another hit. But the difference is I don't want to. I'm so full of God. I'm so busy running after him and keeping my relationship good with him because I care about it. Come on. Come on. All right. 2 Corinthians 6. Look at this. It's getting better. This is what it says. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? There's the problem right there. It's the society. And, you know, you say, well, Pastor, you're blaming our society. Yes, I am. But it's your fault if you get sucked into it. All right? And what agreement was the temple with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, why? Because he's our God and we're his people. He says, come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You are the sons and daughters of God. There's a song that's out right now. Maybe you've heard it. Boys become kings, girls become queens. Yeah, Audio Adrenaline, great song. You are kings and queens. Why would we want to live in the things that we used to live in? Why would we want to play church when we can be sons and daughters? Well, because playing church is easier, that's why. but it's a lot more frustrating, okay? And at the end of your life, you're going to regret it. And I don't want you to regret your life. I want you to enjoy your life. I want you to live in freedom. Jesus wants you to live in freedom, not regrets. Listen, we'll make enough mistakes without trying. Help me out, somebody. We don't need to have more regrets. Let's go to let's look at Joseph for a minute. Okay, Genesis 39. All right. See, Joseph did this. Joseph worshiped God. We see that all through the trials that Joseph faced, he continued to keep his heart right, didn't he? It didn't matter what he faced. He kept his heart right. That's true worship, all right? And it came to pass that after these things, that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in this house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in the house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you're his wife." Just look at the honor and the respect and the righteousness in Joseph. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And let me just say something here. Oh, gosh, I wish we had about a half an hour more. It doesn't tell us that Joseph was or wasn't tempted, but let me just say something. He probably was. Understand, temptation is not sin. And I'm going to get to a scripture before we finish to show you that. Because the Bible tells us Jesus was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. And if temptation was sin, then Jesus sinned. All right? Temptation is not sin. Temptation is, okay, Lord, I'm going to worship you. Holy. And I'll tell you, if you could even go to God and say, "Lord, I'm having a hard time with this." It could be cigarettes. I don't know what it is. It could be alcohol. It could be pornography. It could be homosexuality. They're all the same. It don't matter. Some people, "Oh, what do you mean? I was born this way." I've made my point tonight, haven't I? Yeah, you were born that way. Of course. That's why you need a Savior. And if you don't think you need a Savior, you're in the wrong place, because you do. And that's what we're going to talk about. Where was I? What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So about worship. And you just take whatever that might be, and you just start to make Jesus the Lord of your life in that area, and you start to worship. You say, "You know what? That's my old nature. Lord, I refuse that. Lord, I'm having a hard time right now, because right now this cigarette, this alcohol is important to me, and I don't want it to be, because I want you. Would you help me now? Would you help me? I worship you, Lord. I love you so much. I don't want it in my life anymore. Would you, by your Holy Spirit, start to help me?" Now, come on. What parent is not going to help a child who says, "I can't tie my shoes," and they're, say they're 3 years old? You're going to tie their shoes? Or 22, okay, yeah. A little inside joke there, okay. That's funny. But understand, we're sons and daughters. Are you with me? All right? Joseph refused. "Will I refuse? Will I make a decision to live out of the new man?" See, sin grieves the Holy Spirit. We talked about that a couple weeks ago in another series. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit, and it cuts off our relationship with him. It says in verse 10, "So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her and to be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside." I love this picture. And even though Joseph ultimately gets thrown into prison for this, all right, he runs from sin. You and I need to learn how to do that. 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says that with the temptation, God gives us the avenue or the way of escape. All right? And it's coming into his presence and worshiping. It's worshiping. It's not letting yourself get taken away and get off course by that idol. Do I stay away from temptation? Do I turn, or do I just do it? I mean, it could be as simple as you're getting ready, you're being tempted, and you're going to click on that site that you've been on I don't know how many times. And you say, "Lord, I don't like this in me." And Father says, "Good, because I don't either. I love you. Would you help me with this?" And you start to talk to God, and then you just start to worship him there. You're not going to click on that site. And even if you do, it's going to be, Holy Spirit, if you're really in this, and you really love Jesus, and that's really what it's about, do you love the Lord tonight? As if you love him, he's faithful. He's going to do what you can't do. Joseph, no. Okay. Joseph knew how to steward or manage his body or physical appetites in a way that was honoring God. And this is a guy who didn't even have the Holy Spirit on the inside of him, by the way. Okay. If we don't know how to control our bodies, it's going to hurt our witness to the world. I want to, what time, 8:12. I'll just read a few more scriptures to you. 1 Corinthians 9:27. I'll be done in 5 minutes. But I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. See, we can spend time in the Word. We can spend time in prayer. But if we don't discipline ourselves, we could be disqualified. You got to discipline yourself. And again, it's disciplining yourself to worship, because worship and obedience are the same thing. Is everyone with me tonight? You don't leave here and start to do things right. Or do right things. Start to do things right. Don't do right things. Go and worship the Lord. Truly fall in love with Him like never before. I mean, because let's just admit it. Look at me. You don't like what you got anyway. If you're apart from Him, you don't like that. You don't. Come on. You don't. He knows it. You know it. Don't lie to yourself anymore. It's not worth it. All right? The only one who can really meet that need is Jesus. You keep trying to meet it some other way, you're just going to keep pushing it off, pushing it off. I had a word during Dory's message. I was just praying. I loved her message. I just love it. It spoke to me in so many different ways. But, you know, so many times, and I think I've said this before, I'm sure I have, we pray, and we think the answer to our prayer is the answer to our prayer. I know that sounds confusing. But we say, okay, for instance, I need more money. Lord, bring me more money. All right? I need whatever. It doesn't matter. We just say money. Money's good, you know, because we all deal with money. But if God gave you the money that you want, all He would do is put your anxiety off into the future. And you'd have to deal with it because you'd need more money again. It's the anxiety that He wants to get rid of. And the only way that we can get over that is to realize that whether I have a little or whether I have a lot, Philippians 4:13, it is Christ who strengthens me. All right? That's worship. That's what worship and discipline and all that really is. Impurity begins in the eye, not the heart. It enters into our heart from our eyes, the things we look at, the things we think about. Again, consumerism, idolatry. And advertising agencies, they know this. They know it. And would they play us? Luke 11:34, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. When the things you look on is good, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. See, sexual desire begins with what we see. Desire turns into lust, and then lust becomes sin. I want to bump ahead to James 1, Aaron. James 1:14. Listen to what he says. I'm going to close here. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death, spiritual death. I go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. God told them, in the day that you eat of that fruit of that tree, that you will die. They did not die physically. They died a spiritual death, and it's affected us spiritually, or physically, rather, for 6,000 years. But the thing is, when you and I allow ourselves to be drawn away and give birth to sin, we have spiritual death take place, separation from God. Are you with me? And so when we live and we allow these things in our lives, we are separated from God. But it's not that God doesn't want to be there with us. It's not that God has left us. The problem is we're worshiping the wrong thing. Are you with me tonight? So we just need to redirect ourselves. It says in Psalm 101:3 that I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. So what do you need to do? You acknowledge your sin. I mean, it's sin. God doesn't like it. Lord, I have a problem with this. You ask for forgiveness and declare your freedom. Declare your freedom. And then you repent. That means you just turn from it and live out of the new man. That's what we talked about tonight. Live out of the new man. You don't try to do good works. Say, Lord, I thank you that I've created different. I don't need this. I don't live like this. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new in my life. And then sin no more. Discipline. Stop looking at things. Don't get around things that are making you stumble. Bottom line, turn to Jesus. Because here's what Jesus will say John 8:11. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That's his answer for you tonight. I don't condemn you. But if you look unto me, I will send you in freedom. I want to pray for you. Tonight you're here and the Lord is ministering to you and speaking to you. And it may not even be sexual sin. I mean, we kind of use this as a platform to just really talk about any kind of addiction, any kind of lust of the flesh tonight. But certainly sexual sin's in that. If you're here tonight and you're struggling, there's things that you cannot get the victory over in your life. Would you be honest enough to lift your hand up? I want to pray for you. Just lift your, there you go. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We got the right crowd tonight. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, what I want you to do is just take that area and just start to picture Jesus. And I just want you to, just in your mind, just, you don't even have to say this out verbally right now. You're just in your mind. You say, Lord, I love you. And you can say it if you want, but I worship you. Lord, I thank you that you give me victory. Now, everybody just repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Help me to live out of the new nature, to worship you. And I just cast off the bondage of whatever this thing is. And I run after you. And I worship you. I love you so much, Lord. And I thank you for your love for me, creating me a clean heart in this area that'll serve you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're here tonight and you want to know what it means to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, it really means to become a disciple and to live for him in every area. To deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. But he's got a life for you that cannot compare with anything. If you've never prayed a prayer like that, I want to pray with you. If you've never surrendered to Jesus, or you know that you're not living for him, and you say tonight, you know what? I'm done playing games. Tonight, I want to become a disciple of Christ. I want to sell out for him. I want to give it all for him tonight. If that's you, would you lift your hand? I want to pray for you. Say, I want to know that I'm born again. I want to know I'm on my way to heaven. And I want to know that I'm his disciple, his son, his daughter. Anybody here tonight? Say, I want to pray. We're all born again. Everybody knows Christ. Everybody knows they're on their way to heaven. All right. If you're a first-time guest, we got something that we call a welcome brochure. It tells you about our ministry. We've got a gift that goes with this. We'd love to give it to you. Is anybody here for the first time? Anybody?